Well, God morning to you. Welcome back to the God School. We're returning to the book of Ephesians. The Ephesian church. It's that first church mentioned of the seven in the book of Revelation. We're returning to it because it is that letter to the church at Ephesus, although the original manuscripts do not mention, as most Bibles translate, does not mention the church at Ephesus, but we will find as the letter goes on, it is not only to the church at Ephesus, but to the church. Kyriakon is the Greek word from which we get our word church, our English word church. And it simply means the possession of the Lord's. It means the Lord's. And I'm speaking to the Lord's people today, as we have now for almost 14 years. I'm speaking the incredible message that the Apostle Paul delivers to the Lord's people, to God's people, to the ones who, before the foundations of the world, were chosen out from among those who were not chosen out in Christ. This series is entitled Understanding the Privilege of God's Calling in Christ. We covered most of the first chapter last time. I want to go back. That third verse, it's a name of God. It doesn't say blessed be God. It says blessed God. Eulogetos, the good speaking God. The fourth verse, according as he has chosen us in him. Now, I'm not going to go back into that. Listen to last week if your understanding needs to be further enlightened. But it says, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him. Paul is telling us, not holy and without blame in front of the world, as so much of the those who are of the so-called church would have you act, would have you behave. It's before him, that is, before God. He has for himself chosen us. And here's how we're going to look to him. Here's how we do look to him. Holy, committed is the word, and without blame. And without blame before him. How often have you heard this message in the church? Probably never. If you have, thank God. If you haven't, listen in. Listen closely. Give ear. Now, verse divisions were not part of the original. King James reads, should be holy and without blame before him in love. I would suggest that the in love really belongs in the fifth verse. And it should read, in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, that is, to God, and he did this by Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, of God's will. Just for a moment, I want us to look at this word translated in love. The word is agapao. And the best definition that I've ever come across of the meaning of this word, agapao, is not willing to exist without the vessel to which this agapao is being expressed. God, having made a choice before the foundation of the world, having made a choice for himself, he did it in love. He's not willing to exist without the vessels to which his love is expressed. Oh, that we might comprehend this expression of the love of God. To the praise of the glory of his grace, his unmerited favor, and by this grace, he's made us accepted in the beloved. That is Jesus Christ. What a declaration! It's almost overwhelming. It is overwhelming. Be overwhelmed. At this revealing, at this uncovering of God's love. Who made us accepted in the beloved? In whom? Who's in whom? In Christ. We have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his unmerited favor, wherein he has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. As I said last week, God thought this out. Our Father thought this out. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will. According to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in himself. I'm going to just read now for a moment. 11th verse says, in whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated or foreordained according to the purpose of him, of God, who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. That we should be to the praise of his glory. Now, here it is again. The praise of his glory. Same phrase as in the 6th verse. Who first trusted, or better put, hoped in Christ. Hoped. If we see a thing manifest, it's no more hope. We better find a new hope. Listen, God wants, is making us whom he has chosen for himself, holy and without blame before him. That's the hope. Who first hoped in Christ, in whom Christ ye have hoped after ye heard the word of truth, the gospel, the good news. The God spiel, the God speaking of your salvation. In Christ also, after that ye faithed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance. Some of you know that while I was growing and maturing, I was in the real estate business. And when a contract to purchase a piece of property was entered into, the first part of the contract was begun by the buyer making a deposit called earnest money. The word means part payment. The contract was concluded when the full price of the earnest money was paid. What's being said here is that we're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise and that part payment, we have the promise of an inheritance in Christ, and that part payment is the Holy Spirit, which is given to us for faith, I don't know what your church has been telling you for years. I have heard and seen an awful lot of what is said in the church. And to our Father, what He's most interested in, what moves Him most, is faith. And faith is acting on the promises of God. God spoke and nothing became everything in this book, which we call the Bible, which is God revealing Himself to us, is contained over 8,000 promises. Some of which we have seen, most of which we continue to hope for being sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. We have received part payment of that which will be made full. Which is the earnest of our inheritance, unto the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of His glory. The praise of His glory. That 115th Psalm has become such a part of me, wherein it says, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name, give glory and honor. We just are the beneficial recipients of that which Paul is expounding, that which he tells us that we have grace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, that we have peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And we should praise unto the praise of his glory. Now, Paul gets to after speaking all these things of God, Paul now addresses our part, and it's very simple. Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Don, you said all this last week. Well, I'm saying it again. My pastor used to say or speak of the need of dinning in. That is, a blacksmith hammering a piece of iron into a particular shape, pound, bang, 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 ding it in until it enters into our minds, that we might understand. And to God be the glory when we do understand. It can't be taken away. When we do understand, and listen, I don't understand all there is to know about God. I make that profession freely. But that earnest of our inheritance has grabbed me and has brought me some understanding. And with that understanding and the hope thereof, of what God is doing, joy comes. I didn't say happiness. If happiness comes and it's part of the trip, thank God. But with understanding, joy comes. And that joy shall never be taken away. That ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance. That's God's inheritance. God wants an inheritance. after the good pleasure of his will. He did this in love. He's not willing to exist without those vessels to whom he first expressed his love before the foundation of the world in the choosing out from among those he did not choose out for himself. He wants an inheritance. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward? You know, so often that expression of God is love. Love makes the world go round. God is love. Well, love is not what makes God God. What makes God God is power. He can make it come out the way he wants. And that great power to usward who faith. You know, there's so much to come. I hope you will continue to listen. We're not finished today. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who faith, according to the working of his mighty power? That says our faith, even our faith, is a result of the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. That's why the opening expression when you open the God School says the foundation of Christianity is the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who raised him from the dead and set him at his right hand in the heavenlies, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. You know, there's more to life, folks, than what we see here. God, through Paul, is telling us there is another life which is to come. The first message I spoke at the God School was, I'm not here to tell you to have a better, to tell you how to go about having a better life here. I'm here to tell you about the life to come. There's a phrase. There's a verse. Speaking of the exceeding greatness of his power according to the working of his mighty power, In the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John, this is the beginning of Jesus' final words to his disciples before he went to Calvary. And he's speaking to them. And Thomas, that guy who's called Doubting Thomas, interrupts Jesus. And he says, you know, we don't know where you're going. Jesus says, I'm the way. I'm the way. Not this is the way. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. As we said last week, quoting Jesus, you didn't choose me, I chose you. Jesus, let's just read on. He says, if ye had known me, you should know. You should have known my Father also. And from henceforth, ye know him and have seen him. And Philip pops up and he says, show us the Father. And it suffices us. It's sufficient for us. That's what we're doing here today, folks. We're trying to show our Father as he revealed himself in this most wonderful book. And Jesus saith unto him, have I been with you so long time? Have I been so long time with you? And yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that seen me has seen the Father. How sayest thou then, show us the Father? What have you been paying attention to here? Where is your mind at, son? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. Not even Jesus Christ takes credit for what is being done for us. He gives all credit to God. And also, in that which is to come, and has put under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all to the church. This is the first time we encounter this word, church, in this epistle of Paul. To the Lord's. Jesus is the head. to the Lord's possession, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all and all. The second chapter opens, and it describes our condition and you who were dead in trespasses and sins. If you have a King James Bible, you'll see the words, and you, hath he quickened is in italics. It's added by the translators. It's not in the original. Paul is getting to our condition before we came to faith. It says, and you who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein time past ye walked according to the course of this world, ye lived according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. According that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Oh, you gotta do what God's word says to do, that you might be obedient. Folks, in the original, in the Greek, the word is parakoe. The root is akoe, and it means to hear. To hear. When Jesus, speaking in parables, he said, it is given unto you to hear. To those who have ears to hear. Everybody to whom Jesus was speaking had ears, but ears to hear. And here, the children of disobedience is to those who won't hear, who walk according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of those who won't hear. We're going to pick this up, God willing, again next week. I hope that some hearing has been done by you listening today. If hearing has occurred in those to whom God has given ear, this pastor wants to hear from you. You know, in that book of Revelation, speaking of this church at Ephesus, God had an awful lot to commend those folks in the church for. And I commend those of you who have faithfully participated in the God School over all these years. But the comment section of this teaching website is not being filled with responses from those of you who have been chosen by God and it causes me some concern for you. I want you to reactivate by faith. That first response that you had to the good news as delivered here at the God School. I want that love reignited and reunited with me as we continue to put forth the truth of God's word without all this goddamn denominations, without the doctrines of men, wherein we expound the doctrines of God. They're astonishing. And by his grace, and through his will, we will continue. Will you continue with me? And that's the God School for today.